This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us right now on the Harbor One Hotline and brought to you by your New England Kubota tractor dealers, it is Boomer Esiason. Boomer, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. How's it tracking Tom Brady these days?
listen, I have information. I share it. I don't know. I mean, these people get so upset about it. I don't know what the big deal is.
I'm not upset about it. I'm just wondering, where is he? You know, it's like, where's Waldo with you?
I'm telling you, I think he's in the nutmeg state, as they call it. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. But more importantly, I was tracking you this weekend. You have an eerie resemblance to Elton John.
I know that. And you know, want to know something? I know Elton John personally. I will not be Twitter bullied at all. All I really gave a crap about this weekend was trying to stay warm and try to look different just so everybody knew who I was. And I won. That's why I look at it.
Your daughter even called you out for it online.
My daughter's a pain in the ass sometimes. I love her to death, you know, but I'm giving her the pass this time because she's pregnant.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
First time you're going to be a grandfather, or are you already?
Yes, this is the first one, and she's been very... emotional, and it's been great, and she loves taking shots at me when she gets a chance, and I appreciate it. But like I said, to me, I don't really care. All I care about is staying warm, and you knew who I was, and that's all that matters.
Well, is this the matchup that the NFL wanted for Super Bowl 54?
100%. Yeah. 100% they did, and Wiggy can tell you that it's Patrick Mahomes versus the best defense in football, and a team that could run the ball, that could play defense with their offense in San Francisco. It's everything that we could have wanted in a Super Bowl, seeing the best young quarterback in football, who, by the way, has never had a bad game in his 2 years as a starter for the Kansas City Chiefs. That's the most amazing thing. And he always seems to get better the bigger the game is. And the only reason he lost to the Patriots last year was because of the rules in which, you know, he couldn't get the ball back in overtime.
Now, Boomer, when you talk about this game being the perfect matchup, right, is it the new age offenses, or is it building your team defensively? And I think this is going to be the perfect match when you look at what two teams are. But the question I have is, if it does get to a shootout, because we've seen Patrick Mahomes just put up points, can Jimmy Garoppolo and that offense keep up?
That's the $25 million a year question that Jimmy Garoppolo has got to answer, I guess. And I look back to when the trade took place between the Patriots and the 49ers, and everybody's saying, no, they only got a second-round draft choice for Jimmy Garoppolo. Now you fast forward to where he is now, and he hasn't been asked to do a lot the last couple games in the playoffs, and everybody says maybe that second-round draft choice looks like a pretty good trade from the New England side of things. But I'm one of those guys that believes that Jimmy Garoppolo is a winning quarterback, and his record speaks to that. So, I hope for his sake that he plays well. I hope that he has a chance to make, 25 to 30 throws in the Super Bowl. I don't think they'll be able to run the ball the way they played in Santa Clara. This is a neutral site. It's going to be a very, very fast field down there in Miami. And I do think that the track meet that is the Kansas City Chiefs forces the other quarterback to get involved. I mean, you have to. So this is going to be a big spot for Jimmy, and hopefully he'll come through, and he'll come through with a winning performance for him and the cast, to tell all the doubters to go take a walk. But there's no question the pressure. He is the guy under the most pressure, I believe, in this Super Bowl.
Sitting wherever he is this morning, do you think Bill Belichick regrets that trade, Boomer?
That's a really good question. I think he felt like he had the heir apparent. There's no question about that, but you just never know how long a guy's going to play. And it's really hard to tell a guy who's been a part of 9 Super Bowls and 6 Super Bowl victories that, we don't want you anymore. And I think that's kind of like where the Patriots are right now anyway. And Tom wants to be wined and dined, it looks like, by a couple of teams, maybe the Chargers. But
Well, what about the Raiders?
I mean, maybe even the Raiders. I know, I saw that whole thing.
You see that whole thing?
Yeah, I saw the whole thing at UFC 246. Yeah, yeah. I saw it.
It's true information.
They were both there. That's all we know.
This isn't bad info on my part. I don't want to be accused of spreading anything over
here.
Well,
I can tell you that I was at Mayweather-Pacquiao, and Tom and his entourage was there, too. And, you know, he was talking to a lot of different NFL owners that were in the audience that night as well. But I know this really raises a unique kind of, like, would the Raiders do this with John Gruden? And the one thing about the Raiders, they've sold out all their PSLs, as I understand. So they're not going to have any problem selling tickets. The team that's going to have problems selling tickets and is struggling right now is the L.A. Chargers. And that's why most people think that maybe Tom would want to go to L.A. It kind of extends his TB12 brand. Giselle, obviously, being the model that she is, obviously opened some more avenues for them as a couple and for her and her career. So that seems to make the most sense. I can't see him going to, you know, Carolina. I can't see him going to, you know, one of these one-off teams, Chicago. I just don't see that happening. L.A. or New England is what I think.
Now, Boomy, when you think about, you know, the quarterback position, you played it for a number of years. And the one thing I always talk about with Tom Brady and him going other places is the how comfortable he is in a certain offense. And you spring about the Vegas and John Gruden and how stubborn a lot of offensive coordinators are and a lot of offensive coaches are. How do teams or either adapt to what he wants to run, or how does he adapt to what the team wants him to run? I mean, you think there's you think that's a difficult challenge for him if he goes to another place where he knows that Josh McDaniels is here and he has that familiarity he can just, you know, lean on when it comes to the offense?
To me, with all things equal, I'd like to see him stay in a New England Patriot uniform for just that reason, because of Josh McDaniels, because the familiarity with the way things are done. That's a big portion of the success in the NFL for quarterback. Now, you take me, I played 186 games, I think, in the NFL. I played for three franchises, the Bengals, the Jets, and the Cardinals, otherwise known as the Bermuda Triangle of the NFL. And I had, you know, eight different coaches in like eight years. And you're learning new systems, and some systems don't make any sense to you. And it stunts, you know, the growth that you've had as a player. And one of the reasons that I think that Tom has been so successful for so long to this age is because he's been in that system and he knows Josh and he knows Bill Belichick. And I don't know what all this song and dance is all about. The obvious spot for me is to see him stay in New England the next couple of years. I don't know how much money he wants or what he thinks he's worth or what the Patriots are willing to pay. I guess that's always going to be the crux of all the arguments in a cap system. But if I had to warn him, I would tell him the grass is not greener somewhere else just because it may be getting stale in New England. The grass would be greener with Josh McDaniels in your back pocket because he'll take care of you. And I'd like to think that the, you know, New England Patriots, led by Bill Belichick this offseason, either via free agency or through the draft, they have to somehow get better offensive players, skill players, on the outside around him. And they have to find a tight end that is going to have some sort of impact in their offense. That was the biggest loss to me, was Gronk, because you cannot replace that guy, and it really negatively impacted Tom Brady. But I agree with you. He should stay there with Josh McDaniels, finish out his career, go out as a Patriot only. I don't want to see a Joe Montana situation where we have the greatest quarterback of all time going to play for another franchise. Steve Young's not sitting behind Tom Brady, I can tell you. That's why I do think that there will be pressure that he stays there.
Boomer, Aaron Rodgers is now 11-8 in the playoffs with one Super Bowl win. Has his career been a disappointment?
Well, I think he would probably tell you it is. But, you know, they got back to the playoffs this year after missing for the previous few years. And that was probably the point in his career where he was the most down. And that's why it got stale there between him and Mike McCarthy. I didn't expect the 49ers to win this week, much like I didn't expect the Minnesota Vikings to go into Santa Clara and win either. That defense just assaults opposing quarterbacks, and they stop the run. You know, that's why it makes it difficult to beat them in their building. Now, when they get out of that building and they don't have, you know, the 65,000 fans screaming in their favor, it's a little bit different, because I do think that they can be exposed in the secondary. So for Aaron Rodgers, not surprising that he didn't play all that great. I didn't expect them to win, but they got back to the playoffs. They got back to the Final Four, if you will. And I think they'll be a good team next year, and that division is going to be the toughest in football, if you ask me. I think that division is really a top-notch division with a number of good defenses And I think he'll, you know, he may make it back next year, or they may have a, you know, they may have fall off in the cliff. They may fall off the cliff simply because of that division.
Boomer, ratings Sunday were the lowest they've been since 2009. Does the NFL miss Brady and Belichick?
I think they do. I mean, it's always been the story. You know, they say what you want about like the 80s and the 49ers, the 70s and the Steelers, you know, maybe even a little bit of the Cowboys. There is a there's a likability factor, and then there's a hate factor. But you got to watch simply because they're well known.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think like Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes have a little of that, because I think that's what we're going to probably see here now for the next 5 or 6 years. They're going to be right in the middle of everything that is the NFL. And I think Patrick Mahomes is the perfect person to be the new face of the NFL.
Why, speaking of broadcast and media in general, why does Tyreek Hill get a pass from the national media?
You know, it's kind of interesting. So we flew back on Sunday night after the game, and we landed, and I checked my phone, and I saw that Tyreek Hill pulled what he did in opening warm-ups or introductions. I never even knew that happened. When we were, you know, on set. If I would have known that that was the case, I would have said something, and yeah, I would have had that replay played. But he doesn't get a pass. I mean, I think a lot of us take anger with some of his antics, and I don't know why he would even do that, given the fact of what he just came through. And it just kind of makes me, you know, wonder what he's thinking. He's such an explosive player, guys. I can't even tell you. Watching him on the field and being on the sideline as the game's going on, I'm like, man, this guy he's like top-end speed is ridiculous, and that's why I think he's going to have a huge Super Bowl against Richard Sherman. They're going to line him up over to the right side of the offense because Richard only plays the left side of the defense, and they're going to say, just go run past Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman's going to have all he can handle, but I wish somebody would just tell Tyreek, man, you're just such a great player. You don't need all this other stuff around you, and just be, you know, play the game of football as opposed to getting yourself embroiled in all these controversies.
All right, Boomer. Well, we got 2 weeks of hype here, and we'll talk to you next week, and we'll get your prediction. I'm not gonna make you do it this
week. You know if Tom and Giselle are moving again?
Listen, in the end, I think everybody's gonna owe me an apology, Boomer.
Well,
I'm not doubting you,
Greg. I am not doubting you at all. As a matter of fact, I checked out the house on Zillow.
Yeah,
and I could see them moving to that house.
But I know.
But can also see that this could be like a real estate play for the whole TB12 brand, and they move in for a couple weeks, and then they turn around and sell it.
It's a tear down. That's what it is.
It's a tear down. Exactly.
Built in 1990. That's a tear down.
Yeah, I got you. All right, guys. Have a great week. All right.
Bye.
See you guys.
Mudhead Night. Weeknight 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Yeah, Boomer coming at you. By the way, before I get started, new feature coming up at 7:20, right?
Yes. Woke people in the news. We'll get to that in about 10 minutes.
Woke
people in the news coming up at 7:20.
Any reaction to Boomer's? He doesn't buy the Vegas Raiders thing, right? I mean, he says basically L.A. or New England for Brady.
Well, I mean, he said that they sold all their personal seat licenses. Mm-hmm. I don't know that is a giant factor in where Tom Brady ends up.
I think a big factor, what he talked about, is the coach relationship that Brady's going to have, whether it's offensive coordinator, head coach, but mainly offensive coordinator. Who's that going to be?
Well, Wiggy, in his lead this morning at 6, was citing sources. Not a source. Sources.
Kaiser sources.
That say Tom Brady will remain the quarterback of the New England Patriots.
That's what my sources are saying, man.
Kaiser sources. Fitzy, yes. Welcome back.
It was the key grip on the Aaron Hernandez documentary. It's his source.
Now, you have a source in Dana White. Listening to Dana out at Vegas, you know, for the big McGregor fight.
Hey, Tom Brady was here. Davis was here. I saw them talking. What's going on? If that dude isn't playing for Boston, he's playing here.
Wow.
Now, you know Dana White well, right?
I do know friends. Dana was, he must have got the red eye because he was at the Celtics game last night.
So what'd he say?
But I didn't talk to him. But I tried to get to him and Snoop, and security intervened, but... But I don't know. I mean,
he's going to be playing for the Boston Patriots.
You don't think that Vegas would be an interesting place for Tom Brady to land?
Oh yeah, especially if he's single.
You mean like team?
That's Bolin's place. He's been saying that all along, Vegas. And if there's any team that's going to offer him stupid money, it's a stupid owner like Mark Davis who will do it. So they could offer him $100 million.
If you could pick one city in the U.S. that needs the TB12 method the most, wouldn't you say it's probably if it's not the state of Florida, it's or
not
Kentucky?
Sure it would go over that well in Vegas. You think? People,
yeah.
You don't think people would be getting
speak
up
to degenerates?
You don't think they'd be getting up early and consuming some avocado?
Yeah,
smoothies.
I don't think they're cutting the tomatoes out of their diets. No.
I don't think so. Not in Vegas.
The nightshades.
And now we have mixed sources on the L.A. thing, because initially it was reported by McGinnis, right, that Giselle hates L.A.,
right,
but Life and Style magazine is reporting through their source that Giselle loves L.A.
Well, there are texters who we don't have time right now, but we could do it after we do the woke people in the news. But there are texters who'd like to revisit your lead with regard to this gossip rag that you're referencing this morning on Tom and Giselle.
All right, here we go. Celtics routed the Lakers at the Garden, 139-107. Five Celtics in double figures. They led by 14 at the half, 24 after three. How about a 32-point win? 32-point win
Big
over the Lakers.
Big win for the Celtics. And Huge. Wiggy wants Brad Stevens fired.
I know. Still ripping the guy. Seasos Memphis.
Can they
Wednesday
win a title?
Night.
That's what I want to know.
They're all healthy. Maybe that's Brad Stevens' excuse. They haven't been healthy here much.
But
lately.
Even if they're healthy, can they beat the Milwaukee Bucks in seven games? I don't think the way they're built, I don't think they can.
I think they get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Though.
Right. But that's, for me, the Eastern Conference Finals getting there, what's that mean? I want you to be able to get to the finals and then ultimately win it. And I don't think that they can by the way that they're built.
But I like the chemistry. Like, and getting rid of the locker room cancer that was Kyrie made a big difference.
Got rid of Martin Luther King
Jr.
But
what? Chemistry doesn't win championships. Look at the Golden State Warriors for the number one example. It's not about the chemistry. It's about the superstars you have.
Bruins host Vegas tonight. That'll be the last game before the All-Star break. And the Red Sox on, of course, the managerial search. Interest in Mets bench coach Bam Bam Hensley Mullins. I'm not even sure how to pronounce it. Anyways, there are finally some names and
Bam Bam Hensley.
Yes, Hensley Bam Bam Mullins.
And Bridge Guy.
And Veritek.
What, Ken?
And your guy Veritek, is there's some rumblings that he's interested after an initial wave of not going to take the job.
I mean, quite possible that he met with the brass about it last week.
Ooh.
He'd be
quite
a good
possible.
Bridge. He'd be a good bridge guy.
He'd be a great bridge guy. Right. And the players, I mean, he'd be a player's manager.
Right.
I
think that he'd be the perfect fit.
I mean, those guys, the ones who spoke this weekend, sounded pretty confident that nothing happened here.
Right.
I mean,
they did.
They're sticking by their story.
J.D. Martinez went out on a limb there. And he was pretty confident in saying that nothing happened here.
Alex Speer wrote a big story, lengthy piece in the Globe this weekend about what happened, sort of a day-by-day breakdown of how Cora was let go. At no point within the story does he cite anybody from the Red Sox asking Cora whether he did it with the Red Sox or not. Like, they totally leave out everything with the Red Sox. Everything regarding the Astros cheating is in there. They talk about the meetings behind the scenes with all the brass and how Cora was told he was not going to be returning.
Yeah.
But at no point within this, 3,000-word story do they mention anything about the team wondering whether or not Cora actually cheated with the Red Sox.
Do you think it's possible that nothing untoward occurred here?
It's possible my hair will regrow on its own. I highly doubt it.
Yes.
You do?
Well, because all the players are coming out and saying it. And we already know with the Houston investigation and the report that they put out in Houston, it's all over the report that the players were a big part of the scheme.
Yeah.
So when you look at that and you start to say, and players come out and go, we had nothing to do with it, that's not a good look if MLB comes out with a report saying, oh, well, Red Sox players were aware of J.D. Martinez, Xander Bogaerts, Jackie Bradley Jr. That's not a good look for players.
Mr. Baseball says there's absolutely no way they weren't doing it here.
Come on.
Well, then there should be evidence. Just like we got evidence from the Astros, whether it was banging on the trash cans or the very shady Jose Altuve holding on to his shirt or running into the dugout afterwards. There should be some evidence that comes out. Say, oh, go back and look at this game, and you'll see this, that, and the other. You could be able to piece it and give us some receipts.
This is The Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Everybody in the club give me a run. If you ready to move, say yeah. One time for your mind, say yeah. Well, I'm ready for it. Come let me show it.
Well, we'll get to this in a minute. I mean, several of these texters, Ken, want you suspended, apparently, for what for referencing the gossip rag on Tom Brady and Giselle. I don't know. I mean, they're very upset that you brought
that. Can't reference it?
They're very upset that you even brought it up.
I think it's fake. That was my lead.
I mean, I mean, you came right on the air at 6 during the lead and referenced this.
Said it's fake.
This bogus gossip report.
Horse and hound.
Said 95% of it.
95% fake.
We'll get to that. I want to get to a new feature on this show, Woke People in the News. PETA is demanding that the name of a road in southwestern Idaho be changed. The road is called Chicken Dinner Road.
Stop.
And PETA has gone to the legislature and has demanded that Dinner Road be changed to just Chicken.
It's chicken. It's fried chicken. It's fried chicken.
I can't.
They really have a road called Chicken Dinner Road?
They have a road called Chicken Dinner Road. I mean, obviously, people probably drove out there. There was like a chicken dinner place in the 1940s, a roadhouse or something that was there. And it was convenient to call it Chicken Dinner Road. I mean, I don't. Wow. I mean, is it even appropriate to call it Chicken Road at this point? I mean, should we remove all, like, any kind of reference to animals that exists anywhere historically in the United States?
Could you call it Bird Road?
No.
I don't know.
Well, that could be for, like, Larry Bird.
Oh, yeah, it could be. Oh, yeah. You know. Yeah, you're right.
A lot of different meanings.
All day, every day, chicken nugget.
I like Chicken Nugget Road.
So, a representative there, Republican Scott Sim, on Monday had to actually introduce a different piece of legislation to urge lawmakers to support the existing name of Chicken Dinner Road. I wonder what like when somebody from PETA is driving on Chicken Dinner Road, do they get sick to their stomach?
Do they still act like a hypocrite like most of the organization does?
My little girl's name is Snow. And every time you see someone eating somebody else's eggs or somebody else's body, you are going to remember her name.
Yeah. Oh, God.
All right. Was that a Saturday
Live? Do we have a state where all these people just live?
The woke state?
Yes. Just have them all ban everything.
It already exists. It's California. Mm-hmm.
Could be Massachusetts, though.
It could be.
I mean, my God.
Yeah, we get an honorable mention for that.
Now, speak up here, Danielle. Miss Ethical Treatment of Animals. Come on.
I think this is a bit of a reach, Ken. I think by doing things this excessive and this extreme.
If it was dog dinner, you'd be speaking up.
Dog dinner road. That's not a thing.
Oh, different. You like dogs. You hate chickens.
Kill a cat road.
To do with this. Yeah, right? Kill a cat. Skin a cat road. No, I think that there are things that it's hard enough to advance certain causes, perhaps like animal rights and climate change. It's not a pivot. Nice try, though. It's already an uphill battle. So when you have people that go outside the fringe of the arguments and make these ridiculous points, it makes it more difficult to actually, like, get to the real important issues.
They're ruining it for the people who really care.
Right.
People who are fighting for animal rights.
Yes. You know, like people like myself and rescuers who are in the trenches and doing the work and getting dirty. And then PETA's like, we're going to change the name of this road. It's like, oh, all right. I give up. Thanks, Helen.
Because then we lump all you guys into
together,
one category.
Right.
Her name is Snow.
It's like you're really complaining. I would love to know what is it about the road that infuriates them or makes them feel.
Well, they don't want anybody eating chicken for dinner or any other meal. So
shouldn't they go and be going after everything with chicken dinner on it?
Well, yeah, I mean that would be.
I mean, shouldn't their first place they should be hitting is like Popeyes and KFC? we're gonna be protesting, and we don't want it to be called. Give me the number two, the chicken dinner special.
I like fried chicken.
The only reason they do this is so shows like ours talk about them.
Of course.
I mean, that's literally, right. They don't care. I mean, they just want to have publicity.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. All right. Well, I hope they don't give in out there.
I had chicken last night, too.
You did?
My wife made wings.
Get out.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
What kind of wings?
Just like, you know, a little small wing.
Just like plain, or was there a sauce or a flavoring?
No, just a little fried chicken wings, you know. Okay. Nothing crazy.
All right.
How many of those did you throw down?
Not many. I told you.
Like three dozen, I'm guessing.
I've told you, Greg, I'm really trying to work towards a new path. They have a set calories that I can't pass.
Really?
Daily, yes.
You're doing your macros?
I'm doing a calorie app, yes.
How many calories?
I think I have a 2,500 limit.
That seems pretty high.
That's low, actually.
Leave me alone. Let me have my pizza.
You're in a deficit.
Yeah, that's what they said is 2,500 calorie limit.
What about exercise?
And I exercise.
I mean, yeah.
I got a little bike. It's not a Peloton.
Yeah.
You know.
Why don't you
I put my laptop on my iPad and I can make it a Peloton.
It doesn't count if it has a motor attached to it.
Why? No, don't have a motor.
Why don't you join
it's called a moped.
Why don't you join the Peloton cult?
No, you
that
guys
I,
are
that I've been indoctrinated.
You guys are hodls.
Yeah.
No, you guys are hodls. I need to see more. I need to see some more diversity in Peloton.
I went back to back 2 30-minute classes yesterday.
Ooh,
impressive!
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So you went an hour?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
First time ever.
2 30-minute classes.
Did you run them concurrently and just follow one? Like, I need more specifics.
What do you mean?
I feel like you might be engaging in wordplay. You completed one 30-minute class and then did another one?
You can look on my. You can follow me on Peloton.
No, I know that. I mean, I can't guarantee that you're the one that was on the bike, though.
But you know what's weird is the second one, this is why I'm a little bit concerned.
This is why, yes. Go ahead, caller.
The second one was very, like, motivational, like life motivational. It was almost like I was...
It's a cult.
It was like I was firewalking with Tony Robbins or something. It was kind of cultish.
Yeah. And you made fun of the CrossFit people.
I'm just telling you. I mean, it's...
That's how they get you.
He's a Peloton hodl now.
I just feel like they might be trying to indoctrinate people into some kind of a movement.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
I don't know.
They'll stop brainwashing you shortly with that, you know, screen in front of you and her saying stuff or him, whoever you go to.
Well, it was Allie Love. And she's very inspirational, but there was... way too much about kind of overcoming your issues in life and less about the actual workout part of it.
Right. Stick to the workout.
But I think that's their thing, is they just want to get everybody into there. And that's okay. I mean, it's okay to start a cult. I mean, look at Scientology. Look how far that's come.
By the way, Stanley Stiz Grimey got a hold of your first instructor's people. Very rude. Very curt.
Wow. What?
Wow.
You mean Hannah?
Hannah's people, yes. Mm. Well, no part of the Greg Hill show.
I don't believe that.
Mm-hmm. I saw the email. It was very curt.
Hannah's people or the Peloton people?
Well, one and the same. Peloton people.
Stanley Stiz Grimey is our vice president of social medias on this program. Who are you? Were you dealing with Peloton or were you dealing with Hannah Faulkner's?
Well, it was both. Her people are the Peloton people, Greg, and I sent them a very nice, very courteous email, politely requesting an appearance from Hannah.
Yeah. And what did they say?
And they got back and they said, we're all set.
Really?
Wow.
It's probably because they're starting their own.
Is that the one
radio, like some kind of radio broadcast?
Or they were frustrated that Greg has never completed an actual session with Hannah.
Is that the one from Massachusetts?
You mock what you don't understand.
Hannah's from Massachusetts?
No, she's the one from England.
Oh.
I think Curran probably got a hold of her first.
They don't have a house in Connecticut.
I mean, what do you think Tom E. Curran makes of this report in Life and Style magazine that was Ken's lead this morning?
He might have leaked it on behalf of the Patriots, for all I know. Yeah.
So this is, and again, people want you suspended for even bringing this up. But you put, I believe you said, 5% credibility into this report, which, what's the headline, Danielle?
$600 million divorce nightmare. Giselle dumps Tom. If it were a British tabloid, it would say shock horror.
I mean, are there any repercussions for these people for basically publishing this breaking news that Giselle has dumped Tom Brady?
This is funny that you're asking this question.
I'm not a journalist. I mean, you can't publish something like that, can you? Just
don't they have like some sources in there, alleged sources?
Yeah, they do.
Ooh, the connection. David Pecker owns Life and Style. David Pecker, close personal friends with Donald Trump, who did the catch and kill stories. Donald Trump's close personal friend, Robert Kraft.
Ooh.
Well, Ken, you think that the spin is beginning?
Yes. I mean, if Brady leaves, who is going to be to blame from the Patriots organization? easy target is Giselle. I mean, that it's just a layup, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she is viewed already as sort of eccentric at best. So,
yeah.
You know, she's working her magic behind the scenes, and she wanted to leave.
So you think they're trying to create almost like a Yoko Ono type scenario?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And to put in there, Giselle thinks living in Boston or, you know, Brookline is tacky.
That is a knife
in the back.
Yeah, she thinks, essentially, she thinks we're all tacky,
mm-hmm.
which we kind of, I mean, we are.
A little bit.
I mean, we should
we're
own
gauche.
It. Bougie.
But isn't there also,
I don't think we're bougie.
But doesn't
bougie?
She also say, like, the house is, it's just, the house that they live in is not... And her mind is not very, it's not a nice house.
No, it's not that. It's too much, essentially, is what the article says. Is that what it is?
Basically. Hold on. I'm trying to load the full text of the article here.
I mean.
I don't buy it.
I thought she designed the whole thing and designed her she shed and all the rest of this stuff. I mean, I don't buy this. Any of this.
She wants to go to L.A.
Per their source, only one now. It's a Greg Hill approach. Only one source.
They have one source for this. Mm-hmm.
Giselle hates living there. She thinks it's tacky and wants to live in L.A., but Tom doesn't.
I have some more dots here to connect. David Pecker, who owns the magazine that published this, has a home in Greenwich, Connecticut.
In Greenwich, Connecticut.
Yep. And close personal friends with Fred Camillo.
I thought he was losing. Didn't he lose the National Enquirer because of the Trump stuff? Or does he still hang on to all that stuff?
It says in 2018, American Media something bought Life and Style, and the owner of American Media is David Pecker.
Huh. Hmm. All right. Well, that is what is happening. With the National Gossip Rags. Do people still buy those things? Like the physical magazine?
Yes. Like the soccer moms buy it.
Checkout. Supermarket checkout.
Really?
Yep.
And then they flip through like the
They'll finger through the magazine.
They actually flip through the magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The same magazine that a year ago on the January 22nd had Brady and Giselle headline relationship goals.
Oh.
That they are more in love than ever.
Huh.
So.
Well, stress. The stress of
the year.
Yes,
caused a lot on your relationship.
It's been a very stressful year. All right, coming up, we are going to get to the news and a case of fast food sauce rage, which led to violence.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on WEEI. It's time for
Good morning.
The news.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
With your host.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Danielle Murr.
Cannonball!
Because I am good at three things: fighting, screwing, and reading the news.
Brought to you by the Northeast Men's Clinic.
Worth it!
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Fake news.
The Northeast Men's Clinic, Dale and his team specialize in the sexual health of men. Learn more at northeastmensclinic.com or call 617-793-5000.
Beacon Hill lawmakers would like to see individuals as young as aged 16 vote in local and municipal elections.
This is a good idea.
I mean, they spent all this time raising the smoking age to 21.
Yeah.
But now you're going to drop the voting age to 16 or 17.
Well, not the smoking age, the tobacco age.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
you're basically saying that at 16 years old, you can make important decisions about the future of the country.
Right.
But you can't make the decision to chew some Skoll Extra Mint pouches.
You can vote on whether or not people should dip.
Right.
But you can't dip until you're 21.
I mean, this is ridiculous. Like, who are these people, and why did you vote for them? I mean...
Of course they're going to vote liberal. That's why if the 16-year-old was going to be a conservative, there's no way they'd be for lowering the voting age. I mean, that's the only reason this is happening.
It's
the only reason.
You're talking about a large percentage of that age group who believes that socialism is where this country ought to be. So get ready for a complete.
Now, where did you pull? There's no research on that at all. What percentage of.
Yeah, Danielle, look it up, please.
What percentage believe in socialism?
Look at millennials.
You don't know.
You can, huh?
So you're just
I don't remember the exact.
Ken,
I remember being shocked about 6 months ago or 8 months ago with the percentage of those who were young
who favor socialism as the form of government we ought to have in this country.
More 16-year-olds believe in Santa Claus than they do the Second Amendment.
There was a YouGov poll that was done in October, and I believe it showed that 7 out of 10 millennials would vote for a socialist.
YouGov poll? Is that even like...
Now we're calling the credulity of the polling into account, Ken. Okay,
just want to make sure your sources are there. Your source is there.
So...
You want 16-year-old kids that barely even lived to vote on a lot of things that they haven't even experienced yet. It's just stupid.
Ken, you're in favor of this?
No, I just wanted to check you.
I
you
hear
just
you,
throw
though.
Things out there irresponsibly.
You say, what do you
Patch
think,
will be picking this up in about an hour.
Do you think 18 years old is a legitimate age?
18, I'm for, yeah.
Okay.
You're an adult at 18. 16 right. is too young.
I mean... It's pure lunacy.
Yeah,
I mean you could barely get a 16-year-old to clean their room up.
Right. Well, that's the most.
Never mind. Get them to go out and make an educated to vote when it comes to the issues that are important.
Right. But I blame us.
You blame us.
Yes, I blame us because think about it. Right. We're the parents of these 16-year-old kids, and we now. We're so, not all of us, but there's a portion of people that have been brainwashed to feel like, oh, my 16-year-old should have the right to do this and do that. And, you know, he's got to be able to make his own decisions or she should be able to, you know, if she wants to stay out all night long and she wants to experience the world. She should be able to do that.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's these kids are not thinking like that because of that's their way of thinking. It's because. Us as parents that are the parents of these 16-year-old kids or these millennial kids or however, whatever you want to call them, have instilled this way of thinking in their head.
Well, here's a text that says you can work when you're 16. You're taxed. You should be able to vote. I mean, there are people who, I guess, actually believe this. I mean, in your town, Ken, in Brookline, I believe they already passed a voting age change law, right?
In Brookline, you can vote at 10.
I mean, in utero, actually.
This is so stupid. It's so patently dumb. Nobody can defend it. A 16-year-old is not well-versed on anything that's going on in their town or city. They are not well aware of what the vote will mean for the people they're voting and the bills they're voting on. It's idiotic.
By the way, you can stop texting in and saying that 16-year-olds aren't millennials. I know that.
Right.
They're Gen Z or whatever they're called. I know that. I just was making the point. That it was, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with making this point. I was surprised that 7 out of 10 millennials can find themselves voting for a socialist. I mean, it's a complete, utter departure from what this country was built on and has thrived on for hundreds of years.
I don't think their generation has a name yet before someone texts in to correct you. Gen Z is what millennials are. Gen Z was the former term for millennials. They changed it.
Okay.
If you want to do anything, just make 18 the standard age for everything.
Booze.
Drinking. You know, you're able to, once you're able to go and enlist in the military and you can die for the country, which is at 18 years old, you should be able to buy a drink. You should be able to vote. All that stuff.
I agree with you. Hello, Sal.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment. This is crazy. In a court of law, if a 16-year-old commits a crime, they say they have to be considered a juvenile because they don't have the mental capacity to understand the crime they committed.
Right.
But yet they want to make it so they can vote? It's nuts.
Yeah. And they bumped the age for juvenile up from 17 to 18, I think, in 2013.
Yeah. Right. This is Rory from Maine. What's up, Rory?
What's up, guys?
What's up?
All right. I'm not exactly saying that 16-year-olds should vote, but to give so much credit to most voters and say that they're all educated on what they're voting on is a little bit far, too. And then in addition, should there be a limit on how old you can vote? Because, you know, you say these kids aren't educated on what they're voting on. Well, these senior citizens aren't even going to live to see the repercussions of these votes. And they're the ones who seem to be voting the most. I hang up and listen.
Yeah. I mean, I think that when
that
it comes
is a little
to,
true to that. To
yeah,
what
sure.
he said.
I mean, there are people who just vote because they want to vote and they don't spend much time educating themselves about what the issues are. And but there's a lot of people who give it the effort that it should that should be given to it. I mean, Well, a lot of people who care.
Right. And that's why I think, that's why I said, I think 18, I don't think many people would have anything to complain about if it was 18, because most people look at 18-year-olds and go,
it's worked,
you're an adult.
It's worked at 18 for a long time. Why do these people, these elected officials here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts want to make it 16 years old?
Because they want the votes. They know who they're going to vote for.
Yeah.
Their brains aren't fully developed. That's a fact.
I mean, they're having sex with teachers. Might as well be able to vote.
Because if you go by that, brains being fully developed, then they shouldn't be able to vote to what, 24? Because isn't that actually when your brain is fully developed?
And they should have to stop voting at a certain age, but we won't do that.
And we're still waiting for Curtis's.
I haven't voted, so don't worry.
Curtis is delighted with Elizabeth Warren being grilled.
Oh, my God. Six to midnight watching that video.
That was great.
Do we have that audio?
Yeah.
She was asked about candidates, essentially asked about candidates who lie.
Correct, yes.
Where was this?
Let me double
check.
I'm not sure
where
it was. Where
this was?
It was, I believe, either in Iowa or New Hampshire, because that's where they're spending all their time.
Okay.
And it was at a press, sort of just an informal press briefing.
Okay. Is it disqualifying for a presidential candidate to lie to the American public about anything?
I would think that how could the American people want someone who wants to? I think that we just do our best out there every day. And I hope that's what happens, whatever.
She's thinking in her mind, like, how do I lie on this question without making it sound
She's
like,
let me get a beer.
It's Pocahontas.
Wow. Imagine what Trump would do to her on the debate stage. My God.
Should have had a prepared answer ready for that one.
Wait a second. What was the question again?
You mean like lie? Or are you talking about lie or lie?
Like in bed?
It was like she was caught off guard at the question and answer portion of the Miss USA pageant.
Wait a second. Wait, hold on. Could you just give me a couple minutes so I can
A few minutes. She needed to grab a Mick Ultra at that point.
Hold on a sec. I'm going to get me a beer.
Hello, Mike.
Man, I think Liz needs to put down the peace pipe. Oh, God. So I wanted to talk about the voter age. I would be in support of raising the voter age, because anybody that remembers what it's like to be a 16-year-old kid or even an 18-year-old kid or anyone that has had children, they know that there are a lot of things in this world that kids just don't really care about at that age. You know, and if they do care about it, they're usually misinformed.
Yeah.
So to me, people that would be in support of this either have something drastically wrong with them or they have an agenda to push.
Well,
and because
some of the things that they want, like, so there are elected officials in this state and elsewhere who want college to be free. Who better to vote for that than a 16 or 17-year-old, right? So those are the kind of things that you're going to see
because they don't realize that it's really not free.
It's not, no, you're right, Wiggy. There are people who are paying for it,
right?
You know, there are people who are paying for it. All right, what else is going on, Danielle?
Governor Baker has apologized for referring to Representative Ayanna Pressley's speech yesterday at the 50th annual MLK Day breakfast
as a rant.
And I feel like Charlie kind of misspoke here. We might have the audio. I was asking Stan to load it. So Ayanna Pressley gave a very impassioned speech about, she said, "I'm still an abolitionist because my people are still not free. And I mean that in every way, not only because of the new Jim Crow and mass incarceration, but because we don't have economic justice." So she went on for a bit, gave a very impassioned speech, and Baker followed up with this commentary.
The only thing I can add to that rant, okay, is this.
It was a little sad song.
The greatest gift that's come to my wife and to me as a result of this chance we've had to serve has been the opportunity we've had, if only for a few moments at a time, to walk in the shoes of so many different people across the Commonwealth whose life experiences have been different than ours.
No. Now, the governor was criticized for using that terminology after the fact, but that's why I wanted to grab the audio, because I think you can tell from his tone.
I think he chose
his words poorly.
You think so?
I don't think he was, you know, being critical. Because if you were to hear that he said she went on a rant, it would sound critical, right? And I don't think he was being critical of her speech. He went on to say that he agreed with everything she said and that she was spot on. And Governor Baker did reach out to apologize to Representative Presley. Yeah.
It's amazing that Governor Baker has to apologize from that setting where Ayanna Pressley said the greatest threat to our country is white nationalists. And she doesn't have to apologize. I mean, that's absurd on its face.
It's amazing that he said walk in people's shoes. That's got me like... Really?
Oh, okay. Was Kyrie Irving there, or no? He was not.
To that rant.
All right. What else?
There are a couple of incidents of fast food rage in the news this Tuesday morning. The first one, it actually both took place at a Burger King location, but the first one happened in Iowa. Guy was very upset because the worker behind the counter would not accept a coupon that he was trying to use. I'm not sure if it was
a legitimate gripe.
Yeah, gripe. It might have been.
I mean, had it expired or something?
Might have been some franchisees will accept competitors' coupons, say from McDonald's or Wendy's, and some don't. It's, you know, the policy depending on each individual store. This particular store would not accept the coupon that 34-year-old Jonathan Wetzel was trying to use when he was there with his mother. Mm-hmm. He then takes what I believe was his mother's phone and chucks it across the counter, goes around the counter, and then starts attacking a male employee with the cell phone, drawing blood. A melee ensued after that, and of course, thank God, someone was there to record it.
I'm calling the police.
You threw your phone at him?
Yep.
My phone! You dumb! That's my phone and he threw!
Thank you.
No, stop!
I'm calling the police!
Go ahead!
I'm bleeding!
Don't come in here ever again!
I'm bleeding, ma'am! Go get the license plate number!
Does the guy take his mom out to Burger King with him every time he goes? Yeah. Or like a weekly thing or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She was like, wait a second, you threw my phone?
Yeah, exactly. And then the other incident was at a Burger King in San Antonio, Texas, where a woman was upset that she was being charged for extra sauce and flipped out, made a huge scene at the counter. The employee behind the counter told the woman she was being ghetto.
Oh, that's bad.
To which the customer replied, I'll show you ghetto, and then proceeded to take all the straws out of the straw holders, throw them on the floor, all the lids for the soda cups, threw those all over the floor, and then stormed out of the restaurant in a complete rage.
Well, what kind of sauce was it? That's what I need to know.
I think it might have been barbecue. Oh, we're not 100% sure.
A pet peeve of mine.
What?
You go to a place like that, they want to charge you 25 cents for a sauce.
Yeah, what, you think it should be free?
Well, yeah, cost money.
Give me your sauces should be free. It's not like I'm asking you for 15 sauces. You know,
that's the problem. There are people that ask for 15 sauces, so you have to pay for the people that ask
for
15
sauces.
Why do you
want a handout? I mean, you want everything to be free.
Wait a second. I just spent $12 at Burger King, you know, and now you won't give me, a little sweet and sour to dip my fries in or sprinkle on my burger, and I need maybe two of them to get through my meal.
That's 25 cents. How much does it cost you to get extra sauce?
You can't give a guy two free sauces?
Well, that's...
This is the guy that balked at getting at places that charge for a styrofoam cup for your iced coffee. He's being a hypocrite.
Oh, okay.
That is ridiculous.
Why? They both cost the store money.
The cup is included in the cost.
Not when you get an iced coffee and you want a styrofoam cup to go on the bottom to insulate it.
They've been doing that as a favor to their customers.
So then why not tell the people then, you know what, put my iced coffee in a styrofoam cup?
Well, first of all, I don't go for there's a lot of people, a lot of assholes who go for the extra styrofoam cup over the iced coffee cup. Yeah. I don't do that.
Right.
It's cold outside.
Well, you drink your iced coffee fairly quickly. People like me that take 7 hours to drink an iced coffee, I'll throw one under there.
But they shouldn't charge you for a styrofoam cup the same way they shouldn't charge you for an extra sauce.
But if you were a business owner and you saw how that contributed to your overhead and your expenses by always, it's basically decreasing your profit margin.
I mean, I believe
because it's a huge volume.
I think ketchup is free. You just go for the ketchup. I
mean, why is ketchup free, but my sauce isn't?
Because it's cheaper.
That's a great question.
Well, I'd like to know how much cheaper.
Probably they can water down the ketchup. And on my weekend show, Extra Sauce, which is debuting in a few weeks.
Wonderful.
Yes. All right. What else?
See the guy in New Hampshire that killed the coyote with his bare hands?
Yes. Mantown Hall of Fame in this on this guy. The coyote was coming after his kid, like a two-year-old or something,
yep.
right?
Yep. Happened in Kensington, New Hampshire, right on the Exeter-Kensington line. About 11 o'clock yesterday morning, police got a call from the family. I guess the coyote had a couple of hours before that, the same coyote tried to get into a woman's house. Then it attempted to attack the two-year-old at this guy's house. Ian O'Reilly is the dad's name, and he was able to subdue the coyote and choke it out to death.
Came out of nowhere. No noise, nothing. Out of the peripheral of my vision, saw a flash. I was able to put myself between the coyote and the family, and from there, it was a series of attacks from a pretty aggressive coyote. It made it very clear that it was not going away. What are you going to do? How are you going to protect your family, really, is what it comes down to. And was able to then get it squarely in the jaw with my boot and was able to jump on it and then wrestle it to the ground. So I shoved the face into the snow and then eventually was able to put my hand on its snout and expire it through suffocation.
Hmm. Expire it.
I'm surprised Peter isn't coming for him. It was a coyote, though. I mean, yeah. Look, it's not like he strangled a lion. I mean, have you seen coyotes? They're not that big.
Yeah, but they can be vicious. A rabid one?
Yeah, well, still. I
mean, Wiggy is such a hard-o.
Wiggy the coyote.
He never does any of these things. It's just a coyote.
Yeah, it wasn't like he's like, I strangled a full,
have you ever saved a full-grown
pit bull that was 75 pounds.
Have you ever saved your family by strangling a wild animal? No.
Well, I wouldn't have to strangle a wild animal because I was just shooting.
No, but have you ever done?
No.
Well, you just shoot it.
Yeah.
Shoot him.
What if there are bystanders nearby or what?
I mean, the guy was in the middle of the street.
Ever since Wiggy conquered the 2,500 calorie a day thing, he's been a massive hardo on the show.
I mean, strangling a 25-pound coyote is like strangling Curtis. I mean, really, it's not that difficult.
You do it every break.
Oh, good Lord. There's a thief in San Diego, a would-be thief, who snatched $80,000 in gold necklaces from a jewelry store, took off. Unfortunately, the thief's fanny pack got caught on the door on the way out, and his ID was inside.
Oh.
Never wear a fanny pack to a robbery.
They're coming
especially
back.
Especially a smashing grab.
Apparently, the fanny pack is back in style.
It is.
Yeah.
I know quite a few people that use them now.
Is that because the dad bod is popular or like dad style?
Partial,
or is that why the fanny pack? Or is just because, what do you need that you have to have? Like, I get anything I need, I got it in my wallet.
Well, like, you don't wear like slim pants like the joggers.
Well,
I feel like
clearly I don't wear slim pants.
I feel like the people that I know at least who rock the fanny pack are those that tend to wear pants that don't have a ton of pocket room.
Right.
Like they're not wearing the cargo shorts. Like
LeBron was wearing one yesterday at his kid's basketball game.
He was?
Yeah, it's like Danielle said, they're like coming around, especially now it's the Louis Gucci fanny pack. It's not you're thinking it's like the regular fanny pack that you might have grabbed from Woolworths when you were 18 years old for $5.
No. Right. So LeBron has like a Louis fanny pack.
Yeah, it's a brand name fanny pack.
And what does LeBron have in it?
I mean, I bet he puts probably his wallet. His phone in there.
Some 8x10s in case he needs to autograph an 8x10 or something like that. You know,
Fitzy has one with three joke books.
Well, I think Nick does. He does wear a fanny pack.
I wouldn't surprise.
That's a satchel.
I'm going to make a bold prediction that you'll be wearing a fanny pack by the time the cornhole tournament rolls around.
No, I will not.
Because you balked at the Peloton. Because I've worked with you for 15 years, and I know how the trend goes. There are certain things that you balk at really, really hard, and then a year later, you're like, I love it.
You give it a try. Like I didn't understand the hype about the Peloton.
Right, you don't understand the hype about the fanny pack.
No, Greg, I'm with you, man. Stay away from the fanny pack.
I'm telling you.
It wasn't. Sound a bit pandering, to be honest.
8:04. It wasn't cool. January 21st.
It wasn't cool in 1991. It surely isn't cool in 2020, man.
But what do you need? You need it when you're going out somewhere. You need a debit card. You need your license. What else? What else do you need?
Keys, cell phone.
Yeah, it's not the fanny
your girlfriend's pack. Lipstick. Your girlfriend's keys. Your girlfriend's cell phone because she didn't want to bring
a big purse. She has a bag,
but she doesn't want to bring a purse to this event, so you have to wear a fanny pack.
But it's not really the fanny pack and using it for like a utility belt. It's the style of I'm rocking that Gucci fanny pack or that Louis fanny pack or that
Gucci fanny pack.
Yeah, that's what it
GFP,
is.
GFP, Curtis.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a Fitzy pack.
Yeah, that's what it is. Guy's not walking around with just, like a Wrangler fanny pack.
Wrangler.
What's wrong with Wrangler? You have an issue with the jeans people?
Wait, he just went full white. What is this? He's not half white now. He's full.
A FUBU fanny pack.
Oh,
Wow, Jesus, Curtis. You going old school, huh?
For us, by us?
April?
This is Brian Echo. From Fitchburg. What's up, Brian?
Hey, kid.
What's up?
What's up, Brian?
Hey, Wiggy.
What's up?
As you're choking out this hypothetical lion, are you sure you're not going to run out of breath?
No. As long as I don't spill my sauce.
Burger King on themselves.
As long as I don't spill my sauce. Man.
Brian, speaking of Wiggy and Burger King,
I don't really eat at Burger
King. He's limited, huh?
I'm not a Burger King.
You just said you go in there and you spend $12. You're limited to 2,500 calories.
That's because Danielle's story was about Burger King. Right.
What are you getting for 12? What are you getting for $12 at Burger King?
Well, that's because
under 2,500.
If I'm spending $12, I'm going to Popeyes. And I want my sweet heat sauce. They're stingy at Popeyes with the sweet heat sauce.
Oh, they don't give you the free sauce there either?
Every now and then. Some places are a little stingy.
Yeah.
Depends who's working.
It depends on who's working and the owner of the franchise.
If they get out, they're charging you.
If you roll up to the drive-thru window and there's a big 8x10 printed sign with the name of the franchise owner, a dedicated email address, and a commitment to service and quality, you are not getting extra sauce without getting charged.
No.
Several texters use their fanny pack as a holster.
Hmm.
For their pistol?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I can see that.
I don't know why I don't get a holster. But
well, because the holster, then you got to put the holster in your pants, and it's uncomfortable to sit down. I mean, when you're carrying your piece, you don't want to make sure it's comfortable.
Are you and Danielle? I thought you guys were going to go shooting.
There's a place in Draken, an indoor range. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, you can go there, you can rent guns. I'm a big gun person.
Who do you think's a better shot, you or Danielle?
I'm pretty good. I mean, I don't know how Danielle shoots.
I haven't shot in a while.
Yeah,
so.
But I'm pretty good. I shoot all the time, so I'm actually pretty accurate when it comes to shooting.
I mean, I'd say we should bring some winners to shoot with you, but you probably have to go through a whole waiver process.
I don't know if legal would go for that.
But it's pretty interesting. You know, get there, you know, nice. I've shot them all. Nice Desert Eagle.
Yeah. Oof.
With a scope.
It's interesting. I was in New Hampshire. I went up to New Hampshire. I have a buddy. You know Dave, my buddy. Dave's a doomsday prepper.
Love it.
Oh, okay.
Love it.
And so I went up to his place in New Hampshire on Saturday, and he wanted to buy some guns, and you just roll right into the place. They fax something off, and then boom, and you're out of there with your... It's
New Hampshire,
like,
man.
It's not like this
now. No. It's. I bet you New Hampshire's, they're more similar to, like, the southern states.
Yeah.
You know, down there, to get a concealed weapons permit down there, you go in, show your license, boom, next thing you know. And like in Carolina, you don't even need a concealed weapons permit. You can carry a, you know, piece
you can
on you,
carry in New Hampshire.
As long as you have it, like, you know, where people can see it.
I mean, these preppers mean business, though. Do you know?
Oh, I love it.
Do you know
I think it's great.
It?
I know a couple of people that, I don't think they're as into it as he is.
I mean, it's a little bit crazy.
You say that now, but when the S hits the fan, you won't have a bug out bag to grab, and he's going to lock that door, and you're going to be like, let me in.
I know. His big thing is he thinks that the hackers, like the Chinese or Iranian hackers, are going to disable the grid, the electrical grid.
Now, he's off-grid, right, up there?
That's how they do all the... He's got, like, the solar. He's got a couple years...
Well water.
Gas tank. So, like, he pumps his own gas for his
like
truck.
A propane tank.
Does he have provisions stored up?
Provisions for a year.
Are there less now?
Is his joint?
Are there fewer provisions?
There are. I went through a month's worth of provisions in 2 hours up there.
Greg had seven MREs in one sitting.
Is this place like booby trapped too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can.
See, that's
and then
the
you
problem.
Got all the ATVs and all. I mean, it's like The Walking Dead. I mean,
he's ready to go, man. Ready for war.
But the Outsider, episode 4.
The one thing that puts credence into this is that all the super rich people, like Zuckerberg and others, all have prepared and are ready for these types of things.
Well,
so
that's
if
what they
smartest and richest among us have done it. I think they might be onto something.
Well, that's what they think is that when as Danielle said, when the S hits the fan, there's the 99% are going to be coming. For them. Like they're kind of paranoid.
And they're like, yeah, bye.
I mean, like, relax.
Let me tell you, when things go downhill.
Right. It's going to be like, let's go to Greg's boy's crib.
Right?
He got the bug out bag and he got the good cans of beans.
I'll be like, Dave, I always believed in you.
The beans.
I am not going to the doomsday fallout shelter with Greg or anyone else if there are excessive beans being eaten.
It's you like gotta right survive now. Off something.
Be like, we gotta smoke them out.
You gotta survive off. You gotta survive off something.
I
you gotta
know.
Eat something.
I know. I'm just
you know, beans don't go bad.
Now wait a second. 978 texter says Danielle is hilarious. Does she actually have a bug out bag?
I don't, but I know, again, I know people.
What's
the
bug out bag?
It's got like essentials. It's basically a bag.
Yeah, it's got her lipstick, her makeup in it.
Sweet and sour sauce.
No, that's the unexpected overnight stay bag. Extra pair of underwear, toothbrush, eye makeup remover pads.
Lube. Where
no,
are
I
you
carry that with me all the time.
But where are you bugging out to and how do you bug out? So let's say that they disable the grid.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the people start to, they want to, you know, eat each other.
Yeah.
Take every, like, where are you bugging out to and how do you
get
there?
You've got to have a place to go. You have to have a place, you know, that's the whole purpose of the bag is that usually you'll have enough, I don't know, supplies, rations, whatever, for a couple days to get you to wherever you're going.
Right.
So you can hide out in the
You need
the
a bug out place.
And then you can go build a Dakota fire hole, okay?
What's the Dakota fire hole?
It's a way to build a little fire pit so that the wind, there's like a hole on the side and then there's one deep hole and there's a little trench that goes right. off to the side and it takes advantage of like air circulation to keep the fire going.
Because see, when the grid goes, when it shuts down or whatever they do to the, it's going to be like the purge around here. So
right.
You
well,
got
this. I mean, this texter says, when in 72 hours, and it's a 603 text from New Hampshire, of course, when in 72 hours there's no more food in the grocery store, you'll understand.
Right.
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 Look what happens when the meteorologists are like, going to be a drop of snow, going to be one flake. There's no bread at any market basket anywhere.
Right.
That's why I load up on guns and ammo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before they try to take them all away.
All right. Well, oh, Danielle, by the way, that's not a bug out bag that you carry. It's the hoe on the go bag, according to this texter.
You're a hoe. I'm just a girl that enjoys herself. How dare you judge me?
All right. We have to take a break, I believe, but we'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.